You're listening to The Greg Collins Show on WJBC.
This is The Greg Collins Show, AM 1230 WJBC. I got a phone call off the air from Mary, and as she started talking, I'm like, nope, this should probably be on the air. Don't even ask me the question you want to ask me, if you don't mind. Let's jump on the radio and do this there. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Greg.
So go ahead. What did you want to ask?
Well, you were talking before you went into the news about possibility of you not quite understanding whether it was your privilege or what exactly. You weren't quite sure.
And yeah, what you're talking about specifically, too, I'm just setting the stage for the listeners because you know what you're talking about. But for them, I was telling a story about my little brother and I. And granted, we were both in our 20s when we did this, too. So we're not little at the time. I call him my little brother, but we were both mid-20s. We were shooting airsoft guns at each other in what was, we thought, a park, but turned out to be like a construction site. Police officer saw us, drove up to the area where we were holding what from afar looked like guns, and got out of his vehicle and asked us to put our weapons down. And the interaction didn't exactly go smoothly with me trying to just yell out it wasn't a real gun before putting it down. But we weren't, you know, fighting the officer either. But it could have been a very serious situation. It didn't turn out that way. And I was questioning if it was the behavior of my brother and I, or if it's the fact that the officer was white, I was white, my brother's white, and maybe that caused a de-escalation, and that's what this whole thing in society is about. That's the stage. Take it away, Mary.
Okay, so I think the difference is, and I think it's really brave of you to think about whether or not it was your privilege and to explore that. Tamir White, who's a 12-year-old boy, who didn't get the opportunity, I should have said Tamir Rice, did not get the opportunity as a 12-year-old boy sitting at a picnic table, you know, in a park, and police came up on him. And before any real interaction, as the news has reported it, is he was shot and killed, you know, within seconds of the police rolling up on him.
For anyone that's not familiar, that is absolutely accurate. Tamir, 12 years old. This is 2014. The officer in Cleveland, Ohio, is Timothy Lohman. Within seconds of responding to the scene, Tamir holding a replica toy gun, he was shot and killed by the police officer. Yep.
So you can call it privilege, or you can call it whatever people want to,
sure,
to call that. But when sitting from where I sit, and sitting from the story that you told, for whatever the reasons, the police had that response. That is a very real occurrence that happens in the Black community on a daily basis over a similar incident that was not even as what might have been a confrontation as yours might have seemed,
yeah,
to a policeman. And that 12-year-old boy didn't get the chance to walk away.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, Mary, to bring that up. And that is a story I thought of after my experience, because I think they happened relatively close to each other, mine a couple years before Tamir's. I don't have a lot of answers to the difficult questions that our society, I think, is hopefully trying to answer, or at least come to, you know, a better understanding. And George Floyd is certainly an example that has now painted the picture for a lot of people, no matter your race, no matter your religion, no matter what, as to the existence of a problem. And not to turn this into a story about me at all, Mary, but my uh-huh. college roommate was Black. And I remember uh-huh. a conversation I had with him. And this was silly. This was not police at all. But we were talking about how like an RA had kind of gotten us in a little bit of trouble. And my mm-hmm. roommate was like, I think that part of the reason that this wasn't easy on us is the way in which I was being treated compared to you, man. And it did open my eyes, because in that moment, I did kind of feel like, all right, we got in more trouble than I expected for, you know, essentially mm-hmm. drinking a beer outside of a dorm room instead of in a dorm room. And that pales again. My examples are terrible, but it's when you start to learn. Go ahead.
Your example is not terrible, because something that seems that simple, and we're not talking about death, right?
Right.
Something that seems that simple in that situation is very real. And it starts from that extra treatment you got because you were with somebody who was Black. You experienced what that person and what I and people who that I know experience on an everyday basis, from something that small and not being treated right all the way to somebody ends up dead.
Well, and that's actually what he told me after that incident. It was, again, not really a big deal. He wasn't trying to say that like that was, but he said, like, I live a lot of my life, man, like getting told by my family, getting told by people that I have to act differently in some situations because the way in which I'm treated is, and I William Barr, Attorney General William Barr, who's got probably at times challenging views on this, tries to call it more bias than racism per se in our current society. Whatever it is, whatever we label it as, you can't have a 12-year-old kid get killed in a park with a toy gun. We can't allow that. You can't have George Floyd get strangled in a situation that seems like it makes absolutely no sense for those things to occur. And whether or not it's fair to compare them, I survived a couple encounters that, you know, I guess, as you said, I was given the opportunity to describe what was going on to a police officer before. And it's so difficult too, Mary, because I imagine you agree with me when I say this. Not every single police officer acts the way that some might act. And I'm not trying to say that there are good apples and bad apples, because Chris Rock told me that's a bad idea. But not every interaction with every human being is the same, regardless of the factors that go into it. But the fact that any interaction with any individual can be potentially different is the problem.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And when you walk out of your house every day, just try to listen to me. When you walk out your house every day, not knowing if you're going to make it back home because of all the encounters that you encounter in your daily life, that's a burden to walk around with as well.
Sure. No, and I understand that can add frustration. And I understand, and I've been very against the violence and things that have occurred hand in hand with the peaceful protesting in a lot of different areas. But it's not to negate the fact that there can be anger and frustration in the part of those who are actually, here's one other example. One other thing, I'm stealing it from Chris Rock too, but it was a really interesting. Okay. I don't know if you've read the New York Times interview he gave recently.
I need to talk a little bit about it.
This is a concept he threw out, and I'd love to have your take on it. He said, and I don't love his comparison, by the way, because I don't think I would make this one, even though I make terrible ones. He said that if you knew of a situation where, you know, a husband is being physical with his wife, he's spousal abuse, he's hitting someone, that is abuse. And the moment that it stops, you don't praise the person who was an abuser up until the moment they stopped abusing for just stopping hurting someone. There's other things that have to happen to fix the problem that is that situation. And then he drew the line in that example to the ways in which racism still exists today, and saying that even though there can be progression and changes in our society, you don't start to praise movement if it's not necessarily total equality yet. We don't stop to say, look, we've done such a great job because we just stopped doing something as bad as in the case of Chris Rock's example, spousal abuse. We need to do better and better as society to get to a point where there's nothing in the differences of treatments of people at all. I don't know if I even presented that exactly as Chris Rock did, but I don't know if you have a reaction to that example or that concept that even as we progress as a society, you don't stop to celebrate it, or you don't really argue to defend where we're at and where we used to be. You more try to focus on where we still need to go.
Absolutely. You can't go back and change the past, although the past is unfortunately in a lot of situations the best predictor of the future, but you can change the future by understanding the past. So it is always constant motion, always moving forward, always taking perspective on how we all can treat each other with love and respect.
Mary, I can't thank you enough for calling the radio show.
I appreciate you taking my...
No problem. If there's anything else you want to say before I let you go, feel free. The floor is yours if there's anything else you want to say, but you've been eloquent and said a lot, so don't feel like you have to say more if you don't have anything else you want to say.
I guess I come from a place of love, and, you know, I have had my experiences that I've kind of talked about right here, and I'm looking forward to what is happening in this country right now with more people's eyes and hearts being awakened and open to what we can do as a people moving forward to help support and to help and protect each other.
Mary, if you run for political office, I'm voting for you. That was beautiful. Thank you for calling the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
No problem. Man, Mary like taught me things. I feel like a better human right now. I got to take a break. I got a commercial to read. I got to read some stuff. I got to take this break first, though. Anybody else, 829-2345, that feels like calling, I don't know how you top Mary, but good luck.